Hello and welcome to my podcast number five. And I called it today From Disciple to Witness to an Evangelist. I'm Siegfried Tomaszewski and I'm an evangelist. When we speak about disciples and witnesses and evangelists, we need to understand that all of them have a calling. And today I want to show you a little bit. Step by step, how to get from a disciple to a witness to an evangelist and what actually the differences are. Let's start with the disciple. When somebody receives Jesus Christ as their savior, they follow Jesus. And the actual meaning of a disciple, if we look into the Bible, let's quickly look at Matthew 16, 24. There it says, Then Jesus said to his disciples, Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and, here it comes, and follow me. The actual word disciple comes from the Latin word pupil or learner, or in the Greek, mathetes. It's coming from to be a student. Or somebody today, we would say somebody who does an intern type of training. So he follows somebody, and whatever the other person is doing, he learns. He tries to copy, he tries to do the same thing, and he tries to remember and to study. When I grew up in Germany, we had to learn. And then we had to do a kind of a 2.5 or 3.5 year study. But that was not just university or something. You had to study in school 2 days and 3 days in the factory, hands on. There was the master and or the trainer, whatever you want to call him, the engineer, and he showed you what to do, and you had to follow his instructions to the point to do it. Sometimes we had to drill holes in metal. Sometimes we had to make some tools. And then after it was finished, he looked at it and he evaluated. He said, No, you need to make some changes here, some changes there. And with my occupation that I had, many times he came and he said, Siegfried, don't you want to consider doing something else? But I managed. I got through, and at the end, I was proud that I actually finished my education. So I did whatever I was told to do, not always to the how should I say, to the great joy of my master, but I did it. And then sometimes he had to finish it a little bit more. He had to touch up a little bit, and he said, But after all, it's okay. It's okay. And this is what we see with the disciples. They were following Jesus, whatever he said. They looked, they tried to learn, and they studied. And that was common sense. It was not only with Jesus, it was even in the Old Testament with the prophets. They had schools. They went to the prophet schools and they followed the prophet and they learned from the prophet until they themselves became prophets. And so the disciples followed Jesus. They were the followers of Jesus, the followers of Christ. That's why they were also called later on Christians, because they were followers of Christ. Now, the disciple or the follower, he tries to do what the master does. And every Christian, everyone actually who gives his or her life to Jesus follows him. And it's not only asking for forgiveness, but to change the course of your life, finishing your old lifestyle and doing what the master is doing. When we read that, what I mentioned in the beginning, they followed him. Actually, they dropped everything. It says immediately they jumped out of the boat and followed him. Immediately they left their work, immediately they left their father and followed him. Now that means I changed direction. Just imagine the fishermen. I mean, they were in the boat, they were going in and going out. That was their daily bread. And now they come to the shore, and Jesus calls them and he says, "Follow me." Now, they had could have done a lot of things. They could have considered going back to their home and say, "What do you think about it? Should I follow that man? Let's calculate the cost. Now, how many days could we do that? You know, how about 3 days we go out fishing and 2 days we follow him? How about that? Or what do you think? You know, if you go, I go. If you don't go, then I don't go." There is nothing like that written in the Bible. It says when they heard Jesus say, "Follow me," immediately they followed him. Now, what do we do if Jesus calls us? Are we true followers? I mean, on a daily basis? Or how many times do we consider? How many times do we calculate? How many times do we discuss and argue with Jesus? Or do we really follow? Are we actually followers? Are we actual disciples doing whatever he says, whenever he says it? Are we immediately following his voice? Well, that's a big question I'm asking myself. Am I really willing to follow? To give up everything? I mean, not counting the costs. They left everything, and Jesus himself said, you know, even the foxes, they have their holes, but I have nothing. So, you know, kind of following somebody that you really don't know to somewhere you don't know where to with nothing in your pockets. Well, that was a challenge for these guys. And we have everything. We've got wonderful homes and we got wonderful families. We may have a savings account. Not me, but maybe you have it. And, you know, we are living kind of a good life. And I believe that's sometimes the problem why, when Jesus calls to follow him, we are arguing, we are considering. We are calculating. So this is just a challenging question to you. Are we real disciples from the understanding of the New Testament word following, follower? But let's go one step further from a disciple. Every Christian who gives his life to Jesus and follows Jesus is or should be a follower of Jesus. Now, if we are following of Jesus, now what's a witness? Let's look at the general terms of a witness. A witness is actually a person who can testify to what he or she has seen or heard or experienced. Not from hearsay, but from personal experience. You know, the most common witness, actually, I believe, is in court. You come to an accident, or you happen to be there at the time of an accident. Police comes, and the police officer asks you, "Have you seen what happened? Have you been involved?" "No, I've not been involved." "Well, that's good. But, you know, I saw how this guy ran the red light and this one couldn't stop anymore. And so, you know, they crashed into one another." "Okay, so you have seen that. Let me take some notes." Then we get a letter from court inviting us to court to be a witness in that case. And then you come to court, and what you cannot do. "Well, you know, I heard a friend telling me about something that happened." The judge says, No, hang on. I'm not interested in what you have heard. I'm interested to what have you seen? What have you heard from the people themselves, not from somebody else who has told you. What have you personally experienced? So there are different types of witnesses, of course, even in court. Somebody has been involved personally as a witness. Somebody has seen it. Somebody has been involved in it in another way. The Old Testament, we read even from things being testimonies or witnesses. We read from stones or sacrifices that have served as witnesses in the Old Testament. But let me share just one. I believe it's the greatest witness in the Old Testament. It's the rainbow, used some from some people, misused in another way, you know what I mean. But the original rainbow that appeared in the sky, set by God, was a witness, and it's still true today. It's a witness of the faithfulness of God to his people, to you and to me. Whenever I see a rainbow, I rejoice because it reminds me on the promises of God that he made to his people. This rainbow is a pure witness of the faithfulness of God. And then Jesus asked his disciples, now here comes the connection. He asked his disciples to be witnesses. And when they said, well, okay, but how can we be witness? Now, number one, they saw what Jesus did. So they could be witnesses already, just telling the people what they saw, what they experienced when Jesus raised the dead, when Jesus fed 5,000 people and more. So they were witness of what Jesus did. So they already could be witness. And then, of course, later, when Jesus hung on the cross, when Jesus died, when he was buried, and when he rose from the dead, and when he appeared to them, I mean, he appeared not only to the 12, he appeared on the Bible speaks of 500 and more, he appeared to them. And I believe he has been a wonderful example of the resurrection power of God we spoke about in the last podcast. And they saw it. Now they could be a witness of the resurrection power of God. They have been witnesses of Jesus who has risen from the dead. Now, when they went out, they didn't only say, we heard from somebody who said, they think they have seen Jesus. No, they could say, we are witnesses of the resurrected Jesus. We have seen him. Thomas, he felt him. He put his hand in the hold of Jesus in the side. I mean, what type of people did Jesus ask to be a witness? Now, he did not go to Jerusalem to the university and said to the professor, Professor, show me the most educated, the most skilled, the best respected, highest respected people with the best characteristics. I mean, the most precious people you have in university. And I will select some of them to be my witnesses. No. And that did not happen. Jesus asked his disciples, all the disciples, to become his witnesses. Now let's look at them. They failed. I mean, they failed heavily. They were cowards. They were not skilled. They were not trained in university. They were fishermen. They were kind of uneducated in the way the world would expect. They had no experience in being a witness. I mean, how could they gain experience? They didn't have years of experience in witnessing. They had no finance background. They had no authority behind them, no university that sent them out, or no de denomination that sent them out. They didn't even have the mandate of the religious leaders to become witness. But they had something that the world does not know. And this is so exciting. Jesus says, "And you shall receive and be my witness." He did not only say, "Come on, boys, come on, girls, as of today, you are going to be my witnesses." Well, they would have looked at themselves and say, "Jesus, you know us better than we do. How can we be witnesses? Nobody will believe us. We have no authority. There is no mandate. There is no, nothing." Jesus knew that. That's why he said, "Listen, you shall receive and then be my witness." So, in order to be a witness for Jesus, you first must receive. Why? You cannot be a witness in your own strength or power. It will lead to a burnout. It may even lead to pride, If you're a witness and you are successful, you come home and say, "Wow, did you see what I did? This is amazing. It works. I'm great. I'm the guy." No. And it would not have long-lasting fruit either. That's why he said, if you receive power, Jesus spoke of you receive His Spirit. When the Holy Spirit will come upon you, you shall receive. So, do you see that line? So, to receive power, you will need to receive the Holy Spirit. Again, you will receive and be my witness. You shall receive the Holy Spirit and receive power. In order to have power to be a witness, we need to receive Him, the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity of God, into our life. Even before, when Jesus sent out His disciples, it says, and He gave them power. If you read Luke 9, the whole story, 1 to 20, where Jesus sends them out, He said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. And then you go out," and then they were witnesses. This was just a kind of a short trial, a short testing phase for themselves, not for Jesus, because he knew what's going to happen. When they came back, they were excited and over the moon about what happened. And immediately, they saw something that could be done, but not through their own strength, but through the power of the Holy Spirit. I pray that you receive the Holy Spirit to become an effective soul winner, to be a witness for Jesus Christ. To receive the Holy Spirit gives us power, it gives us the boldness, it gives us love. And he says he has not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, of love, and a sound mind. I mentioned that before, but let me repeat that again. If we receive the Holy Spirit and we would only receive power, we would go out and, let me put it in my own words, we might do some crazy things that would not be just, that would not be right. We could even harm people if we only use the power that God has given us. That's why he said, "You shall receive power and love." Now we need the love, we need the passion, the power, and we need the compassion. That both combined, we need power, compassion, and passion, love and power of God. Why? If we only had the love, We could end up in doing only social works. We do everything that's right and that's just and help the people in every area. But we tend to fall from the other side of the horse. That's why he repeats, he continues and he says, "You shall receive power and love and a sound mind." That means you discern when to use the power and when to use the love and how to connect and combine those two in the right way in the at the right time. I always say, and I've said that many times, Jesus is not looking for hotheads with a cold heart, but he's looking for people with a burning heart and with a cool mind. This is what he uses to be witnesses for him. Now, if we are a disciple, we follow him, and then we receive the power to become witnesses. Now, why aren't we still called an evangelist? We evangelize. We share the gospel with many people. What makes us an evangelist, or what's the difference, and what's the step from being a disciple, a witness, and becoming an evangelist? I would say every evangelist is a disciple and, of course, a witness, but not every disciple or every witness is necessarily an evangelist. Why does the Bible speak about the fivefold ministry? There is the pastor, the shepherd who herds the sheep. There is the teacher. There is the apostle. There is the prophet. There is the evangelist. Why? Because it's a special calling that God puts on the lives of people to become an evangelist. Now, I would say, just in very simple terms, from the difference between a witness and evangelist is that if the evangelist takes the responsibility for other people to train them, to mentor them, to do the same he does. In my opinion, every witness should have somebody on his side that he trains immediately to do what he does. That's why I see the importance of mentorship. Are we also mentors when we are witnesses for Christ? Are there people beside us that can look up to us? Or do we think, no, that's pride? You know, I don't want anybody to look at me. Don't look at me. Don't look at me. What did Paul say? He said, "Look at me." And I believe we need people that look at us, that follow us, that we can train, that we can invest with our time, with our experience, with everything. We need to train others to do what we do. Now, I'm an evangelist, and it doesn't make a difference to me whether I share the gospel in the supermarket, in the plane, on the street corner, at the gas station with one single person. That doesn't make me an evangelist. I preach to 1,000, 10,000. Yes, we've been preaching to hundred thousands of people. That's still the witness. We witness Christ. But the moment I train others to do the others, that makes me an evangelist. And then, of course, as an evangelist, I try to reach as many as possible and go to the ends of the earth. I don't just stay in my four walls at home, but the evangelist, he grows, he expands, and he multiplies. You know, everything that has life, everything in the world that has life, not a desk or a book. I mean, we throw it away and it decays. I'm talking about life, whether it's a plant or an animal, every living being grows, expands, and multiplies. And what's true in the natural is always also true in the spiritual. We as Christians, we need to grow. We need to expand. And we need to become evangelists by multiplying ourselves and multiplying what we are doing. I pray that you have enjoyed today's session and that you will grow from a disciple to becoming a witness, to becoming an evangelist. May God bless you richly, and I'll hope to see you soon again on our next podcast. And if you are interested to learn more about evangelism, or you want your church to grow, if you're a pastor and you want the whole church, the congregation, to understand more about church growth, about evangelism in your ministry, in your church, I want to invite you to go to the website sigitoma.com. That's SIGITOMA.com. And there you will find more information, more opportunity to learn more about evangelism. May God bless you. Amen.